Good evening. Good to see you all here. Hope your fathers had a good Father's Day. And take your Bible to the book of Haggai. Haggai, the minor prophet, as they're sometimes called. Not because they're less of a prophet, but they just didn't write quite as much. We'll just probably only be there for just a minute. But Pastor, I wanted to say thanks for that thing you gave us for Father's Day, but I just don't even know what to call it. Pen, calling it a pen, just it's like the Swiss Army knife of pens. A building tool. Okay. Thanks for the whatchamacallit, the widgamajigger, whatever the case may be. How many here like change? We got two people raise their hand. I mean, it's a loaded question, right? Or it should be, because you got to know, I mean, how many like change from a vending machine? Yeah, you don't get that too often, do you, right? I mean, that's the kind of change you want once in a while. But, you know, change is a loaded question because it depends on what the change is, right? At least it should. We should want some change in our life. But, of course, we get it pushed on us as it's change for change's sake, and that is not always good. A lot of talk about change and stuff right now. Just real quick, if you have Haggai there in chapter 2, this is talking about the rebuilding of the temple. This is probably around 500 BC-ish. And the question is asked there in verse 3 of chapter 2. It says, "Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory?" It says, "And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing?" He's asking here, if you saw the first temple, Solomon's temple, and you saw, and of course we read chapter after chapter after chapter of all the preparation and the massive resources that went into that incredible edifice, right? Where one of my favorite Bible words, exceeding magnificent, is used in describing it. He's saying here, how many of you that got to see that first one are looking at this one now? And in your eyes, this one's like nothing. It's really not very impressive. And in terms of human resources and human structures, it rightly so. I mean, it wouldn't have been as impressive of a building. You know, we don't like change sometimes, do we? We can imagine being in these people's shoes and all of the naysayers and people talking about how it used to be in the good old days. Things will never be as good anymore as they used to be. This build, they don't know how to build them anymore. We knew how to build them 50 years back when Solomon was in charge of a building project. We could do something nice. Now, we just got this. But, you know, you go down to verse 9, and the Bible says, "The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." You know, we get change averse, and I know how that is. You know, my wife uses her cell phone. Anytime something has to change on it, and I'm sure there's many others in here kind of feel the same way, I hate it when there's updates. You know, we don't want stuff to change, and rightly so. I mean, even with this whole, coronavirus business, all we hear about is we want to get back to normal. Right? Are we nauseated now to the point of hearing about how we need to get back to normal, or the phrase new normal? That's another one of my favorites. It's the new normal, right? I know why we say it. I'm sure I've said those things myself. But if we're not careful, we'll get a mindset where, well, it's just not as good as it used to be. Surely in our eyes, whatever God's doing right now, it's nothing compared to what he used to do. And that can be a dangerous place to be in. We need to be careful because God might be coming down the road a few verses, if you will, ahead in our life and proving to us that I can do more with what you think is nothing in your estimation than what you thought was so great even in the past. Like Brother Sam's testimony, God delights in using the weak things. God's full of surprises if you read through the Bible. Full of surprises. Say, don't you want to go back? Yeah, I want to go back. I want to go back to being able to eat in a restaurant. And we went out like 2 weeks ago or something. just our family, which, we, you know, we have a big family. We pull up, and they said, well, we can't sit at the same table. Like, you got to be kidding. We all live together. We literally just got out of one vehicle to walk in here. And said, sorry, you know, you're not allowed too big of a party. Yeah, I'd like to go back when that was no longer the case. I want to go back, if you will, you know, before COVID-19. I'd like to go back before social media. I mean, frankly, if you asked me someone the other day, if you could undo one thing, would you undo COVID-19 or social media? And I was like, I think social media, honestly. But how far back do you want to go? See, everybody's got that little walk down nostalgia lane where it used to be better. But you can keep pushing that back pretty much indefinitely. Over in Ezra, we read about this same event here that we have in Haggai chapter 2. And it says, but many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice. Now it says, and many shouted for joy. There was mixed emotions. They knew it had to be built, and some of them were excited about it. But those that had seen the first one, they were kind of lamenting that this one wasn't going to be so great. Change. They say the more things change, the more they stay the same. And that's kind of an oxymoron of a saying, but we're all change averse to some degree. But let me just give you a few things here quickly this evening. Number one, some things cannot change. Cannot change. Now, in man's mind, he thinks he's got certain things nailed down. I know that it's whether it's my business, my family, my 401k, my car collection. I don't know. We could have any number of things, and we think those things are set, and nothing's ever going to change. Of course, then a pandemic happens, and that upsets our apple cart, right? Like over there in the book of Daniel, they say, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. That's man's law. But in our minds, sometimes we think our stuff won't even ever change. But that's not really the case. But there are some things that don't change. Malachi 3:6 says, For I am the Lord, I change not. God does not change. Boy, without that truth, I don't know how you get by in this world today. God doesn't change. And he even adds a mention of his mercy and his grace there. He says, I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. We can take comfort in the fact that God does not change. He's not a temperamental parent.
Right?
God is steadfast. He says, you're not consumed because God's not wishy-washy, if you will. He is able to control his emotions. God does not change, and his word does not change.
Right.
Psalm 119, verse 89 says, Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven.
That's right.
Settled. Not much is settled in our world, but this is settled. The word of God, the character and nature of God, we call that in theological terms his immutability. He doesn't change.
Right.
He doesn't change. Some things cannot change. And secondly, some things should not change. Should not change. Proverbs 24:21 says, My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change.
Right.
Some people, you know, I think of this verse when I think of politics. I think it wasn't it during the Obama campaign? It was all about change, change, change. Like everything needs to change, right? You're just basically running on a platform of change. Who even knows what it is? We just want something different. Like that's the old saying in advertising, people just want what's next. Right? They don't care what it is. They just want something different, something new, whatever next is coming down the pike. And the Bible says, don't meddle with people that are given to change.
Amen.
We see some of this stuff going on over there in near Seattle. It's just a mess. People want change, but they haven't thought anything through. And what really kind of lights a fire under me is how any group that suddenly wants to rebel and take off on their own, they want to lay claim to the founding fathers of America. Like, they're just doing what our founding fathers did, that rebellious bunch of hooligans, right? Well, if you took 5 minutes and read the Declaration of Independence, for example, you will see that these men didn't just go off on some kind of a whim. They petitioned their government over and over and over. They said they were not doing what they did for what they called light or transient causes. They had some thought. They realized that things shouldn't just change for change's sake. Some things shouldn't change. Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. Some of the old ways are right, and they really shouldn't be changed. Some stuff, with God's help, should stay the same. Go over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Some things shouldn't change. Romans chapter 1 and verse 23. It's talking about the wickedness of man. In verse 23, it says, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Man changing the uncorruptible God into their own image. And you see it all around the world. You probably see it everywhere from your workplace to regions you've never even heard of. Man fashioning God after his own mind. After his own likeness.
Right.
Now, God doesn't actually change. The glory of God is not literally changing, but these people are trying to change it. They're changing it insofar as it relates to them. In fact, you go down to verse 25, who changed the truth of God. Now, we just saw that the Bible is God's truth and it doesn't change. But these wicked men have tried to put their hands on it. They've made an attempt to change what should not be changed. Some things shouldn't change. Some things shouldn't change. Take your Bible to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, we'll just give you one more couple of verses, but one last point, if you will. Some things do not change and cannot change. Some things shouldn't change, but some things need to change. Some things need to change. In Exodus 14 and verse 12, see if you can hear the lie in this statement. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. They want to go back, don't they? We don't like this change. We want things to go back to the way they were. The way that we're comfortable with. See, they're not that much different than the captives returning to the land and looking at the new building that God was giving them and saying, oh, this one's not as good as the old one. We want the old one back. We don't like this change. But whether it's the Garden of Eden, the Tower of Babel, the Israelites leaving Egypt, you name it, God's way is always forward. It's always forward. It's not maybe always pretty. It's not necessarily always what we want. Sometimes it's ugly. But our job, I can assure you, is not to sit around and complain and say we just wanted to go back to the way it was. Yeah, certainly there are elements that we want to regain and retain, granted. But as crazy as it even sounds in our mixed up world right now, God has a way forward through this.
Amen. Right.
Maybe he just needed to shake all of us up because we were, frankly, just too comfortable in Egypt. I don't know. I'm not claiming that. I'm just saying be careful that we're not so change-averse that no matter what comes our way, we're just going to keep talking about the old days. Turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9. This is kind of interesting. It's during the Assyrian captivity. And if you know anything about that time in Scripture, God told them effectively, look, you're in trouble. You've rebelled against me. Judgment's going to fall. Here's some of the ways it's going to come about. I'm going to bring ungodly rulers over you, and I'm going to put you under them. And if you fight against them, then you're fighting against me. Not a pleasant situation, but now your alternatives are a bad ruler appointed by God, do the best I can, or engage God as my enemy. Not a situation you want to be in, but clearly there's one right answer, and that is you obey what the situation that God has given you. And in Isaiah chapter 9, we see this. This is indicative of the stubbornness or the rebellious streak. In verse 10 of Isaiah 9, he says, this is the people responding, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. These people are effectively saying, we're so determined to have it our way that whatever God brings along, if we have to rebuild it, we'll rebuild it a different way. If he cuts down the sycamore trees, we'll rebuild out of cedars. But we are going to get it our way. That's the kind of stubbornness against change you don't want to have. Look, their circumstances weren't pleasant. They wanted things to go back to the way they were, but God said, that ship's already sailed. This is the path you're on now. Hosea 4:7 says, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. See, when the people don't want to get involved with God's program, God says, well, I'll make them ashamed of the program they choose. Because they're not going to get the glory. God's going to see to it. Psalm 55:19, God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. No changes, see? These were changes that needed to come about, but they were taking their ease in Egypt. And because there was no change, because life was just the way they wanted it, they didn't fear God. And God had to bring some change their way. Close with this verse, Job 14:14. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Praise God for the believer. There's a day of change coming. And most of us probably can't wait for it. Whether it's God, just get us out of this mess we're in, or God, can I please turn in this body that's starting to give me aches and pains and I need new parts or whatever the case may be. But we have a glorious future, believers.
Right.
But we live in a world of people without hope. People that don't know change is coming. God has a timetable for them.
Yes, sir.
And whether they like it or not, the time will come. And their change will not be pleasant. And unfortunately, at that point, their change will also be unreversible. Unreversible. Praise God. We've got the game plan right here. Right here. Hey, some stuff never changes. God, his word. Some things shouldn't change. If you're doing right, living right, look for the old paths, follow the ways of God. Those things aren't supposed to change. But some stuff needs to change. Maybe it's something in our personal life. Maybe it's our time with the Lord. Maybe it's our witness. Whatever it may be. If God has to do something to get us out of our comfort zone as an individual, as a family, as a nation, he's going to do it. Don't fight against the change if it's from God. God has a way forward, and he just wants us to lean on him as we go into it. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you so much for the Word of God. Lord, what a privilege to have it perfect in our hands, that we can read it, that we can believe it, that we can know you as our Savior. Lord, thank you for loving us and saving us. I just give you the rest of this service, Lord. If anyone has anything to deal with you about, as we turn it over to Pastor Muncy, Lord, pray that you'd have your will and your way. Thank you so much for this church, Lord, and everyone that makes it up. Thank you for their attention this evening. And Lord, I pray that you would be honored and glorified in every way in our lives. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.